defeat it.
All right. Dawn tomorrow. Find you on the land after that, and blood gets spilled.
The flagellant's leader bowed so low that his matted hair tumbled over his face, hiding his eyes and mouth from the watchers in the house.
Kindness such as this shall be rewarded. Oh, truly shall it be rewarded.
Trust him just about as far as I could kick his skinny ass.
I know it.
Why not scoot them off now?
Ryan said talk beats chilling.
That sounds more like one of the notorious sayings of good old traitor.
Could be.
The Apostle Simon had been staring intently at them during the whispered exchange. It crossed Mildred's mind that the man might have the gift of reading lips. Unaccountably, in the warmth of the sun, Mildred shuddered. Now Simon banged the end of his staff into the earth.
We are sent away hungered, brothers. Vengeance belongs to the master of us all. He who orders us to punish and purge and cleanse our own flesh through mortification. We have been lax, brothers. Through the rest of this day we shall scourge one another, turn and turn about, until the blood flows over our ankles. Then he will show us the true path.
Without another word or glance at Jack, Mildred, or the house, Simon turned about and led his little band of fanatics back into the desert. The one who had been carrying the cross fought to lift it again, dragging it behind him, gouging a great furrow in the dry dirt.
They be gone at dawn.
Hope so.
End of the day, the gas gauge is going to be down to the red line, Ryan.
Figures. We've done well so far.
Sure, long ways to go.
Yeah, too far to foot it.
JB picked at his teeth with the needle point of his knife.
Bit of gristle from that ham the ladies gave us.
Weren't they something? What would Trader have said about him?
Never quite comfortable around powerful women, was he? Hunniker was one of the only people riding the war wags that he didn't scream at. Not often.
Reckon he was afraid that she'd have crawled up on him in the night and sent him to live with the geldings.
Yeah, that'd be the day, Pilgrim.
That's pretty good, JB.
JB stood, pushing the fedora back on his head.
I guess we might as well move on.
The land they'd reached was high plains country, flat acres and plateau of good pasture, riven by steep wooded valleys. Tree-lined mountains, dappled with all-season snow, rose all around them.
Good country. I guess this was always real good country.
Yeah, grazing and water. Shelter in the low places for the winter.
Thinking of retiring here, JB, to raise cattle? Get a decent spread for you and Mildred? A few little ones to carry on the dynasty? How's that sound?
His oldest friend paused and turned to stare at Ryan, his face unusually solemn.
My thoughts 1,000 times, Ryan. And yours too. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember Doc quoting some old Chinese proverb about how difficult it is for a man riding a tiger to ever dismount safely.
God himself must have lost count of all the men and women and children that you and I have personally sent across the Black River, Ryan.
Fill a decent-sized ville, I reckon. Or a big graveyard.
And all of them was some other son or daughter. Every damned one.
Ryan knew precisely what JB was driving at. Deathlands wasn't anywhere near a big enough place to hide in. Not when there was as much blood on your hands as there was for the two of them.
Doesn't stop you wanting.
No.
The wag was showing ominous signs of mechanical deterioration, which wasn't surprising considering that the eight-wheeler was the better part of 100 years old. Ryan was discovering that the brakes were sticking and the gears had started to get sloppy, like stirring a bowl of watery grits. Several of the main comp repeaters on the dash had malfunctioned, meaning that they lost important sections of information.
Looks like a serious chem storm. High thunderheads, northeast.
There was a radar scanner on the Armawag, but it was one of the pieces of equipment that had gone down.
Do I need a look?
No point. Reckon it's about 1 hour away. When it gets closer, we should think about finding a good place to park, keep out of the bottoms of dry rivers.
They were driving slowly across a rough, boulder-strewn spur of land, where a major quake had taken out the highway. Ryan slowed, and then put on the hydraulic brakes.
Hear thunder, but the storm's still some way off.
Ryan switched off the ignition, sitting for a few moments in the welcome stillness. But he narrowed his eye, almost instantly aware of the noise that JB had mentioned. Distant rumbling that made the big wag vibrate. Ryan picked his way to the turret, finding that his companion had already climbed out on top. Ryan joined him, looking toward the east, seeing a pillar of dust swirling 1,000 feet high. And the sound was swelling, so deep that it felt as though it were dissolving the marrow of his bones.
Is the earth moving?
No. I can feel a shaking, but it's going on for too long. The biggest quake I ever knew only lasted about a minute or so.
Then what?
Both men stood together, one on either side of the big gun barrel, staring toward the dust and the noise. It was Ryan who solved the mystery, a second before JB also realized what was coming their way.
Buffalo.
It was only possible to make out the animals leading the stampede, all of the others invisible, within the impenetrable blanket of reddish dust. They were big animals, full grown, running at a full gallop, heads down, their hooves pounding the dirt behind them to find powder. As they swept around the lowest part of the bluff to the right, the herd was around 600 yards away, heading straight toward the parked wag, with nowhere else to go along the narrow spit of land. Ryan instinctively had already made the calculations before he even became aware of the enormous danger that he and JB were facing. At least 30 miles an hour, around a third of a mile around.
40 seconds!
To drop into the driver's seat and start up the engine would take at least 15 of those seconds. Then to get the wag moving at even walking speed would be another 10 to 15 seconds. To reach 40 miles an hour and keep ahead of the stampede would be close on a minute. JB had just reached the same conclusion.
No time!
Inside, and lock everything!
Ryan led the way into the turret, hesitating a moment as his holster snagged on the rim of the steel hatch. JB was so close behind that his boots clipped Ryan's fingers.
Closing down!
For a moment, there was the illusion that the threat from the stampeding herd was over, the sound of the hooves muffled by the armor-steel walls. But the vibration was stronger, growing with every second.
I'll seal the obstacles as well. Strap yourself in!
Ryan slid the chrome tongue of the safety belt into the waiting mouth. All of the obstacles had closed, with the exception of the one directly in front of him, facing the oncoming herd. Ryan had left that on manual override, hand on the control, ready to shut it at the last moment. He wanted to watch the rushing wave of animals for as long as possible. The inside of the LAV-25 was almost completely dark. Ryan's mind had been mentally ticking away the seconds.
10 to go!
Ready as I'll ever be.
The LAV-25, partly loaded for combat, weighed in around the 11-ton mark. A big, muty buffalo, full-grown, was over a ton. It was beyond calculation how many animals there were in the galloping herd, but Ryan's instant guess had put them well over 1,000, perhaps 10 times that number. One of his last thoughts before the first jarring impact was to wonder whether, given enough time, Doc's mathematical brain could have worked out details like momentum, inertia, and deceleration, and what the odds were against their surviving. He slammed shut the last obstacle and braced himself. In a bar in a gaudy just near the western foothills of the Sierras, Ryan had once been cold-cocked by a sec man swinging a 2x4 at the back of his head. The sensation of everything coming loose inside his skull was almost identical to being in the wag when the first wave of the buffalo hit. Ryan's good eye shuddered in its socket, and every one of his remaining teeth seemed to become loose in his jaws. All of the vital organs of his body were on the move. Liver, lungs, bowels, and heart. The back of the seat wrapped him smartly across the head. And consciousness slipped beyond Ryan's control for a few moments. When he blinked his eye open again, the world was pitchy black, and he was upside down, supported by the straps. For a moment he thought that he'd been making a jump from a gateway, and something had gone drastically wrong. The cosmos was filled with noise. The wag was moving, constantly buffeted by collisions with the maddened animals. Ryan cracked his head again, and fell into the blackness. This time the lab was the right way up when he came around, and the bedlam seemed a little less.
JB?
Yo, been around and around like a leaf in a twister. Feels like it's easing.
Now there was only an occasional jarring thud on the outside, and the ground was